اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. مسلم اسکالرز جنرلی بلیو دیٹ مسلمز شوڈ ناٹ نائدر پارٹیسپیٹ نور سیلیبریٹ فنکشنز آف نان مسلمز. پرومیننٹ ایگزامپلز آر برتھ ڈے فنکشنز, دا مہندی فنکشنز, دا بسنت فنکشنز, اینڈ ایون دیز ڈیز دا ہیلووین فنکشنز اینڈ دا ویلنٹائن ڈے فنکشنز ہیو بیکم ویری کامن. اینڈ اٹ از دا ورڈکٹ آف آر ریلیجیس کلرجی دیٹ مسلمز شوڈ ناٹ پارٹیسپیٹ واٹس ایور ان اینی آف دیز فنکشنز, نائدر شوڈ دے سیلیبریٹ دیز فنکشنز دیم سیلوز. Now the opinion is generally based on a narrative which says man tashabbaha biqaumin fa huwa minhum, that a nation who aspires to become like another nation would be regarded among them. And I'll read out the whole narrative before you so that it becomes clear that this narrative has a particular context and it has a particular background and is not an absolute directive of prohibition. It is recorded in the Musnad of Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Ibn Umar reports from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, near the end of this world, I have been sent with the sword until the one and only God is worshipped. My livelihood has been ordained in the shade of the spears, and humiliation and subjugation has been ordained for those who oppose me, and those who adopt the ways of a nation are like them. So this last sentence, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ, has been reported out of context in many narrations, which makes it an absolute directive of prohibition. If it is read in conjunction and in the background, as is presented here in this narrative, then it becomes absolutely clear that this narrative is nothing but the delineation of a law which is based in the Quran and which is described and mentioned in the Quran a number of times. As per this law, the Almighty selects His messengers and then through them He implements the truth in this world. He punishes people who intentionally deny the truth so that this whole task can become a corroboration of the reward and punishment which is going to take place in the hereafter. In other words, in the times of the messengers of God, the Almighty punishes people who deliberately deny the truth and also rewards people who accept this truth wholeheartedly and become companions of the messengers of God. So this is a particular law which is stated in the Quran at a number of places, and this narrative is nothing but a delineation of this particular law. So the narrative says that the Almighty actually, in the times of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the last time that he exercised this whole practice was that he implemented the truth in the Arabian Peninsula, and he punished people of the times of the Prophet who deliberately had denied him and denied the truth. And this narrative says that people who will do so, they will be humiliated and subjugated. And of course, it refers to the Prophet's nation himself, the Quraysh. Now, the narrative says that all other nations, for example, those of the people of the book, who also follow suit, who like the Quraysh also deny the Prophet and who deny the truth, then they too shall be counted among them, and their fate shall be no different. So in other words, what this narrative is delineating, it is just saying that whatever attitude of denial and refutation a nation adopts would be counted among the Quraysh also in their nature of denial, because just as the Quraysh had denied the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if other nations also end up in this denial, then they shall also be humiliated and subjugated. So this is the whole background and perspective of this narrative. Now once we are through with the explanation of this narrative, the question now arises that should we take part or celebrate such functions? The answer is very simple and is based on our own common sense. We have to judge each and every function on its own merit and see if anything is irreligious about it, something it contains which is against our religion. And then we have to decide for our own selves and see if this is something which we should abstain from or not. In other words, when we say that this narrative has nothing to do with prohibition, then we have to, of course, still contend with the fact and reckon with the fact that should we still participate in such functions? Is it, if our religion has not bound us to not participate, then is there anything else which stops us from doing so? The answer to this question also is the same, that we have to judge and exercise our own common sense and experience and see if anything amongst these functions goes against our religion or not. Now we have to realize that socially we have to take things from other nations. We adopt ways and traditions and festivals and celebrations of other nations. And similarly, other nations do that on their behalf also. They adopt things from our nation also, from our civilization also. The thing is that in such capacities, we have to see if there is nothing immoral in them or not. And of course, this judgment would vary from person to person, and it would also vary in a society in which a person lives in. So therefore, it is essential that whenever we give a verdict regarding celebrating non-Muslim functions, then we have to see whether or not that particular thing is irreligious or not. Akulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa lisairil muslimina wal muslimat.